Yeah, Father, we thank you for your promise in the Word. It said that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out your treasure, the rain on our land in your good season. And Father, we thank you for this promise. And Father, we thank you for putting us in such a blessed place. And we receive your gift of rain in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We're going to be a little bit before we take communion. So we're going to go ahead and really look into the communion really close today. Just because it's something that we need to revisit once in a while. Because it's so very important. We can really, truly have health and wholeness through the Holy Communion. This is God's design. This is His medicine. And there's a couple things that we need to understand. That for Christians, there's no judgment. You've already been judged. See, the Bible tells us that when God raised Jesus back to life, we got justified freely by His grace. In order for you to be justified, you have to first be judged. And there's no condemnation. There's no damnation for you. There's no condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So that's been taken care of. You know, doctors have found out that stress would cause people to be sick. So they started trying to... They remember back in the day, they tell people you need to work less, you need to change jobs, do whatever you got to do, get rid of the stress. Well, that was just a fruit of the real problem. And then they found out that fear was causing the problem. So then they started coming up with chemicals, different pills to give people to take care of fear and anxiety. And that didn't really work. It masked the problem. But fear is a fruit. The root of the problem is condemnation. That's the root of the problem. We have to understand that when you get born again, you get washed in the blood. All condemnation has been taken away. Now you can go boldly into the throne room of grace because of the blood of Jesus and receive mercy and grace in time of need. When Adam was in the garden and he sinned and God came walking into the garden and he said, "Adam, where are you?" As if God didn't know where Adam was. Adam said he hid himself like he was going to hide from God. How many of us have been there? Well, here's the thing. Adam made a dreadful mistake. He did what God told him not to do. And he became afraid because he was under condemnation. So he hid himself. And then he tried to cover his mistake by making clothes. And he was trying to, actually, he came up with his own righteousness by making his own clothes. How many of us have been there? We've all tried to cover our own mistake. Only the blood of Jesus can take care of that. When we make a mistake, we need to be conscious to just run to Jesus. Don't be conscious of your sins. Be conscious of your Savior. Run to Him. He's the only one that can take care of it. Now, here's the thing about the Holy Communion. Is God ordained the Holy Communion not as a ritual to be observed, but as a blessing to be received. The blessing of health and wholeness. When you hold the bread in your hand, you are coming in touch with the greatest expression of His love. He took stripes on His body. He was beaten in his body, and he was bruised, and it was for our healing. The wine is not just forgiveness, but the wine tells us that you have been made forever righteous, you've been made forever holy, and you've been made forever blameless. Think about that. The Bible tells us that you've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. You're a new creature without a past. 1 John 1:7 tells us that the shed blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. Now here's the thing. We've been told to follow by 1 John 1:9. So that when we make a mistake, we're supposed to get on our knees and ask God to forgive us, right? But did you know that John was not talking to Christians when he was in that chapter? He was talking to Gnostics. He was witnessing to them. He told them, said, if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the shed blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. Now here's the thing about communion. Too many times people are told to discern the body of Christ and actually to examine themselves to find out, you know, if they don't want to take communion, they don't want to take damnation unto themselves. So what they've been taught to examine themselves, to ask yourself, is there any sin in there? Don't ever do that. Because you know there is. As long as you are in this flesh and bone body, this earthen vessel that is made of the earth, you're connected to the earth, you can always find sin. Always. But the Bible doesn't want you to have a sin conscience. God wants you to have a righteousness conscience. He wants you to be conscious that the shed blood of Jesus has made you in right standing with Him once and forever. I was reading the news, and Texas is passing a law, or trying to pass a law, that all the universities have to put the Ten Commandments up on the walls. I thought, how stupid. Not that the law is stupid, not that we shouldn't honor God, but why can't you just put 10 things that Jesus did by grace up on that wall? You see, the law is the ministry of death and condemnation. That's what Paul called it. Paul knew the law inside and out. He called it the ministry of death and condemnation. Nobody has ever been able to keep the law. All the Ten Commandments do, when you look at the Ten Commandments, you can see your failure and you can see your need for a Savior. If you have an honest bone in your body, you know you can't keep those Ten Commandments. But they want to post our failures in front of our faces. You know where God kept the Ten Commandments? In the Ark of the Covenant. Under the mercy seat. Out of the sight of the people. He didn't want them to have a sin conscience. He didn't want them to focus on their failures. And He doesn't want you to focus on your failures. And He doesn't want you to focus on the Ten Commandments. He wants you to focus on Jesus. He wants you to focus on what Jesus did right. He wants you to focus on the truth that you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you have a sin conscience, you will live your life in fear and stress and condemnation. But when you have a righteousness conscience, you have a conscience of what Jesus did for you in His death, burial, and resurrection. You'll no longer be focused on yourself, but you will be focused on Jesus, which is where your focus is supposed to be. says to believe on Jesus. Next to being saved from hell or eternal destruction, divine health is the greatest blessing that we can have. One of the most interesting stories I ever heard, and it was in the oil patch. This guy told me, he said he was down in a reserve pit, and he had to liquefy these tailings and suck them up with water. You know, they had to mix all this up and suck it up with the vacuum truck, and it's nasty, dirty work. But they had to get this pit liner all the way clean so they could cut it up and roll it up and backfill this pit. And the owner of the land and the well came up there, and he said, "How are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm nasty and dirty." And he said, "Son, I'd give anything to be able to do what you're doing." The man was wealthy beyond measure, and he was too sick to enjoy it. Divine health is what Jesus, one of the things that Jesus paid for us to have, this healing. Did you know, here's the curious thing, that Jesus did not walk on water all the time? Did you know that he didn't still storms all the time? But he did heal all the time. Everyone, everywhere that came to him in faith got healing. Look to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, sicknesses and diseases are nothing more than oppression from the devil. The Bible tells us that every name must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Every name that is named and every name that is not named. Every name, every sickness has a name. Every disease has a name. That name must bow its knee to the name of Jesus every time. Jesus is the most powerful name that has ever lived. Here's the interesting thing. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were oppressed. And they were overworked. They were underfed. They were beaten. You know that there were some of them that were so crippled that they couldn't hardly walk anymore. There were some of them that were maimed. There were some of them that had been hurt through terrible accidents. Different things, you know, diseases. But when God brought them out of Egypt, he made sure that none of them were sick. None of them were feeble. The Bible tells us there was none feeble among them. What's one of the things that they did just before they left Egypt? They partook of the Holy Communion. And God gave them specific directions on how to do that. Partaking of the Lord's body brings healing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29 and 30, Paul gives us an account. He says, "There's only one reason that Christians are weak and sick and die prematurely among you. Because they do not discern the body of Christ." Did you notice? It says, "For this reason." For this reason. It didn't say reasons. It said, "For this reason." That one and only reason they didn't discern the body of Christ. So, we're intelligent people. If we understand that if they didn't discern the body of Christ, they didn't live well, we can figure out that if we do discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have healing in our body. We can expect to live well if we discern the body of Christ. So what does it mean to discern the body of Christ? To actually look at that bread. This is matzah bread, by the way. This is a sheet of matzah bread. This is how God said to make this bread. This bread is made without yeast. Jesus' body was without sin. Yeast is significant of sin. When we understand that, we understand that our perfect Savior went through His passion and went to the cross for us as our substitute. He paid the ultimate price for us. This bread has been beaten flat. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. And also, if you'll notice in this bread, there are stripes. And it's by His stripes that we were healed. You know, our healing was paid for before our sins were paid for. When Jesus went to the scourging post to get scourged, that's when our healing was paid for. That's when He got stripes on His back. And that took place before He got on the cross. Our sins were the biggest thing for God to take care of. The healing was the smallest thing. The healing took stripes on His back, but the actual sins took the death on the cross. Also, if you look, this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood. And every time He shed blood, it was not by accident. It was not spilled. It was on purpose. And we get redemption in some area. And this bread is slightly burned. That means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when He died on that cross. Now when these people that took the communion and they didn't discern the body of Christ, literally means they didn't know why they were taking and breaking the bread. They didn't know why they were partaking of the body of Christ. They were not receiving the divine life of the Savior. Since truth is parallel, if we do discern the Lord's body, we will walk in health and wholeness. I thought it was curious. I got to go through on a lot of adventures and go to a lot of different churches and just watch and see how people did things, and communion was one of the things that caught my curiosity. And I had asked, because they seemed to make a big deal out of it. So I started asking people, why do you take communion? And said, oh, that's what we do the first Sunday of every month. I said, but why? Well, that's what we do. And some people would say, well, you don't dare put money in the basket unless you take communion. Or you don't take communion unless you put money in the basket. I thought, why? And then, when I found out about matzah bread, I thought, well, to discern the body of Christ, you're going to have to look at that bread and see the different things that happened to Jesus in that body. And then I thought, why does everybody use these little white rice wafers that stick to the roof of your mouth? So see that eating special diets, you know, eat this, don't eat this, eat right, you know, all this stuff. But you have to understand that all these diets are natural means. That's not spiritual meat. A funny thing about Jesus is he healed a lot of people that were on special diets. Did you know that? The Mediterranean diet, that's one of the things that's been going around. People get on the Mediterranean diet, say, this is how you're supposed to eat. This is going to be good. Did you know Jesus healed a lot of people that were on the Mediterranean diet? Did you know that Jesus healed a lot of people that didn't eat any bottom feeders? Those are natural ways of trying to reach a spiritual destination, and it won't do. It's okay. I mean, I'm not saying that you should go out there and just eat like a hog and you know, eat any old thing you want to eat, but don't follow my example. I eat a lot of things that they say you're not supposed to eat. You know, I eat pig meat. I eat bottom feeders. I eat it all. But I don't trust in my diet for my health. I trust in the Holy Communion for my health. Trust in God for your wholeness. One of the neat things about the Holy Communion is you can receive an absolute miracle through the Holy Communion, or you can receive your healing a little bit at a time through the Holy Communion. Jesus is so good, he meets us where we're at. Roman centurion came up to him and said, all you have to do is just say your word and my servant will be healed. That was good enough for Jesus. He said, okay, I'll do that. The ruler of the synagogue said, I need you to come lay hands on my daughter. And Jesus said, okay. He met people where they were at. If you can believe for all of it at once, great. If you can believe for improvement, great. He's not a demanding father. He's a loving heavenly father that wants us to walk in health and healing. He's a loving heavenly father that wants us to receive of his fullness. Now some can receive a whole bunch at a time. Some need to take it a little bit at a time. Here's the neat thing about the Holy Communion is you can take communion at home. You can take communion once a month. You can take it once a week. You can take it once a day. You can take it 3 times a day. Here's a curious little observation I've noticed about people. When they get sick and they go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, you got this bad thing. Says you need to take this medicine 3 times a day and you need to eat it with this certain food and this certain drink. And you need to take it at 6 o'clock. You need to take it at noon and 6 o'clock. People will do that exactly to the T. They're taking a worldly means that's made out of broken creation to try to fix a spiritual malady. And I call sickness and disease a spiritual malady because it's rooted in the curse. Sickness and disease is rooted in the curse. We've all come in contact with the curse. Just the very fact that we have been born on this earth and we have Adam's blood coursing through our veins, we've come in contact with the curse. Some of us have an ability to stay away from the curse a little better than others. Some people seem to jump up in the air and grab the curse with both hands and pull it down around their ears. With different lifestyles and different choices that we make, God still has the answer. When we discern His body and we're taking this communion on purpose for our healing, things change in our bodies. We're receiving of Him. Breaking of bread means a trust and a confidence in one another. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that the disciples went from house to house breaking bread daily. So we're going to break this bread and we're going to discern the body of Christ. We're going to take it for our healing. We're going to know that He went through His passion for us. And we're going to take it on purpose. We're going to receive the fullness of Him in our body. When He gave this to the disciples the first time, these guys, I can only imagine what these guys must have been thinking. Saying, you're taking my body, my flesh into you. Can you imagine having the guy that walked on water, that stilled storms, that raised the dead, that cleansed the lepers, and now you're taking His life into you? Can you imagine having Him sit in front of you saying these things? Can you imagine the excitement that must have been racing through their minds? And here we are, about ready to partake of His body. The very Creator of the earth. The one that was from the beginning. The Bible tells us in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld and called Him Jesus. We're taking the Creator of everything into us for our healing. We're taking His very life into us. What a great, great opportunity to receive health and wholeness in your body. Amen? So can I have somebody? Father, we thank You for the Holy Communion. Father, we thank You for the broken body of Jesus and the stripes on His back that causes us to be healed. Father, we thank You that You meet us where we're at. Whether we have great faith or small faith, when we look to Jesus, You meet us. Just like the father of the prodigal son. You meet us with open arms and a loving heart and full restoration. So, Father, we're taking this broken body of our Lord and Savior. We're releasing our faith in it to receive healing in our body. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but matzo bread tastes a whole lot better than them little rice wafers. The shed blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on this earth. The shed blood of Jesus is the one and only thing that can wash away your sins. You know, asking Him to forgive you doesn't wash away your sins. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. And the blood of Jesus not only protects us, but the blood of Jesus seals in the New Testament promises for us. And here's the biggest thing that ever happened. The blood of Jesus has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is what that means. The blood of Jesus has put us in right standing with God. And everything that was wrong between us and God before we got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. And now, because of His blood, we are in right standing with God, and we qualify for all of His blessings because of His blood. And it's because of that blood that we've been justified freely by His grace. And that blood gives us the ability, the boldness, to enter into His throne room and receive mercy and grace in times of need. How many of us need mercy and grace? All of them. What that tells us, if we can walk right into His presence as if nothing ever happened and receive our miracle, we can receive our miracle of healing, receive our miracle of finances, receive our miracle of deliverance, receive our miracle of protection. Whatever it is that we need from our Abba Father, it's ours because of the blood of Jesus. So, Father, we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Is there anybody that has any prayer needs that they want anybody to agree with? Huh? Yeah. Your knee? Okay. Well, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over this woman. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over her knee. Father, we ask You in the name of Jesus to strengthen her knee, causing it to be strong enough to hold her and carry her as if on wings of eagles. Father, we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, all right, we have snacks and coffee and fellowship back here. Come back and visit and fellowship a little bit.